The following program has been pre-recorded.
This week on Belonging, we have Katie Crowley, who was in a traumatic car accident.
I smelled like gasoline and my leg was like dangling out where the window used to be. And so anyways, not in good shape.
She explains where she finds God in the midst of her suffering.
A ton of prayer and going to the sacraments. And I was like receiving, you know, the Eucharist, asking God for help in confession. Like I had to consistently pray a lot. Just for the grace to like want to forgive and then ultimately the grace to forgive.
Next.
This program is made possible by the generous donations of Jeannie and Bill Stayskull, members of Christ the King Parish in Nashville, and by a grant from the Cook Foundation. Take advantage of the many opportunities for young people in the Nashville Diocese to connect and find belonging. Like University Catholic, a community of college-age students who are serious about their faith and unite in fellowship and friendship to deepen their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to universitycatholic.org to find out more. You can also connect with young Catholics like you by attending events like Summit Music City. It's a night of music followed by adoration and reconciliation. It's free and open to young people of all faiths. Go to soundscatholic.com. Or try Theology on Tap, where you can gather with other people in their 20s and 30s like you, who want to learn more about their faith while enjoying a beverage together. Join Theology on Tap Nashville on Facebook for events and times.
Hello and welcome to Belonging on Nashville Catholic Radio, the show for young adults here in the Diocese of Nashville. My name is Zach Jansen. We have Father Gervon with us, as always. And this week, our guest is Miss Katie Crowley, who has a great story to tell about finding God in the midst of suffering as she was in a traumatic car accident, which we'll detail and learn her story here today. But Katie, thank you for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, and just real quick, for everyone just not in the loop, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're doing here in the Nashville area, and we'll talk about your story here, Susan.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Katie. I'm 28 years old and just moved to Nashville in the fall, actually, for a job at Cap Financial. So I'm originally from Peoria, Illinois. We are known for Fulton J. Sheen's hometown and being Caterpillar's kind of former headquarters. So yeah, just been in Nashville a little bit here, settling in at life at the cathedral and just day-to-day life. But yeah, that's just a little bit about me, just a working professional and just an ordinary girl trying to figure out God's will one day at a time.
Well, I appreciate you reaching out to us because I think it sounds like you have an amazing story to tell. And we'll talk about it a lot here. The fact that you're an author, we'll go ahead and say it now at the front, Stepping Up, How Christ Turned My Pain and Suffering into Hope and Joy, detailing her story of finding God in the suffering. We talk a lot about the joys of being a young adult here on the show, as well as the hard times. But I think yours is unique in a way. Where would you like to begin to tell people what suffering means to you? What the accidents, where it started?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, like you mentioned, it's not exactly a fun topic to discuss or be known for or anything like that, but it just happens to find us all in our broken world. So 4 years ago almost, I was 24 at the time and kind of similar to now, I was just living my life as an ordinary person. You know, I was working on a graduate degree. I had a marketing job. I did a lot of intense workouts. So I would work out like 6 days a week, super into fitness. So yeah, just kind of living a normal life. And then one day it like wasn't normal. I was driving home early from work that day. And unfortunately, another driver took the wrong exit and came back forcefully onto the road. And I lost control of my vehicle. And my car flipped about 3 times approximately. And I was like alert and conscious the whole time. And the pain was just like excruciating. I thought I was going to die about a half hour earlier in the day. It was just normal, kind of boring work day. And then, you know, in a moment, you know, it all changed. So anyways, I was flipping in this car. I was praying as my car was flipping. I really thought it could be the end for me. It ended up landing facing the oncoming traffic. I smelled like gasoline and my leg was like dangling out where the window used to be. And so anyways, not in good shape, was taken to my Catholic hospital and assessed for all my injuries. I had contused lungs, so I was like coughing up a lot of blood. And then multiple broken bones. So my collarbone, my elbow, my knee was my worst injury in 4 places. My ankle, a toe, a finger. So I was pretty beat up.
Wow. Like you said, it was just a normal day. I think we all kind of go with the motions. I feel that way, especially if it's just, it's everyday life. I'm going to go home. You hear a lot to have an attitude of gratitude for the little things in life, the fact that we can drive home safely. The fact that you just never know. Father, I'll ask you, one thing I think of a lot, whenever you're talking to somebody or living your life, it's like it's the first time, the only time, and potentially the last time that you'll ever talk to that person. How can we live that gratitude in everyday life, but just not knowing last moment?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's interesting because we never know the day. You know, I wish, one of the things that I always say is that, okay, what if they tell you that Jesus is coming back, you know, in 30 minutes? What would you do? You know, I think many people can run for confession or, you know, whatever, call that person that they were not talking to, or, you know, whatever you need to forgive. But we never know, you know, we never know when is our last day. So, you know, that thing that you say, you know, live this day if it was your only day, your first day, your only day, and your last day. It's actually, what a sailor says that, you know, priests celebrate this Mass if it was your first Mass, your only Mass, and your last Mass. And I think that, you know, a lot of times, especially as young adults, we tend to push things back. You know, like, I'm really busy right now. I was talking to somebody this week in the restaurant, in the waiter, the restaurant, and you know, it's like, well, I can't go to Mass, you know, and we were talking about, and it's like, what time does the restaurant open and all that stuff? And he said, well, I can't. And I was like, well, you should, you know. How about if that is your last day? You know, we never know. I mean, in a way, we would never know. So in a way, we should be living as if it is our last, not like in a creepy, you know, like, watch out, you know, God is going to get you away. But, you know, I think it was John Bosco, they said, you know, if Jesus is coming back and going to mean what we do, like, I would keep praying soccer. And somebody who is always ready to receive the Lord, you know, so I think it's opportunity for us, especially right now, as we know, finish late and everything, like, how about if it is your last day? Would you be ready?
So I love how you mentioned too that immediately our instincts would say, I'm going to call for confession right now. I'm going to call the people that I've done wrong so I can prepare myself for whatever happens when we die. Katie, I'm curious, what was your faith like before the accident and after? Because we always think, I'm going to run to the sacraments right now and get my soul correct and right. Well, how did your faith life, was it different before and after, or was it night and day? What was it like?
I was surprised that something like this happened to me, because I considered myself actually very faithful before. You hear of maybe like some near-death experience or something crazy happening and somebody was like on drugs and totally turned their life around. For me, I was somebody that went to Adoration Weekly. I was a part of a Bible study. I went to Mass. Like, I, you know, said my prayers. Like, I feel like I was practicing my faith, and I was. But that's why I was surprised that, like, why is suffering finding me? And my parish priest was like, that's perhaps why it did. Which that was something I grew in knowledge of, why we suffer and why, you know, how to answer the question of like, why does suffering like always happen to good people, or tends to? But after, and now like 4 years later, and I had to learn how to rewalk again, which took me about a year to get off of, like, I was in a wheelchair and crutches and braces and graduated through so many different physical therapy things. During that time of learning to walk again was like learning to walk with God through the cross. And it's so incredibly difficult, but I grew exponentially in my faith and learning, have a deeper faith, a richer faith. So it's not that I didn't have faith before, but it grew in so much depth and beauty, unfortunately, through the pain of suffering.
Yeah, I think it's important for us to know this, because, you know, pain and suffering can allow us and help us to grow. You know, a lot of times we can see pain and suffering as something bad or something that is going to separate me from God. But it also can be something that leads me to God. And I think as Catholics, we are called to know that we are called to know how to suffer. It's not just suffer to suffer, but give the meaning for that suffering.
I think that's so true. And that's something that I had to learn, of offering up my suffering every day for specific people or specific intentions, uniting my suffering to Jesus on the cross, asking him to bring good out of this situation because I didn't see any good. And I was like, what can this possibly be doing to help anybody? But it actually, I mean, it changed me, but it also changed those around me. And so learning how to suffer well, and actually, you know, obviously some of the saints even like pray for suffering, and I can't say that I'm there yet, but
me neither. Don't worry. I know. I pass.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, find someone else holier than me. But learning how to suffer well and practically speaking, and really relying on the Eucharist, on the rosary, on good people around me to lift you up and give you that strength to continue forward on some days that are particularly pretty dark.
And I think the other thing about that is, you know, I just heard from somebody that, you know, this person is going through cancer right now. You know, and a lot of people are like, what? You're such a great person. You know, like, why is this happening to you? And then she said, I would not want this to be happening with anybody. And I think that, you know, when suffering comes and everything, the first thing that we ask is like, why? You know, why is this happening with me? But I think that we should really talk about is how. Lord, how do you want me to go through this time? And I think that, I don't know if you had that experience, Katie, on how, but what was like the aha or the like God moment for you that it kind of, or were you kind of okay with the suffering the whole time? What was it?
I would say, honestly, at first, I was upset. I mean, talk about spiritual desolation. I was just like, where were you, God? Like, why me? Like, I was doing the right things. I would say it hit me at a couple different points where I had a change of heart. One was talking to Father Hennehan, my parish priest back home, and he gave me some good spiritual wisdom. And one of which was this image of the rock. And he's like, there's two ways to mold it. One is slowly over time and run water over it and it ages and you grow and change slowly. And the other is to use like a chisel or a hammer and you get immediate knowledge. So he's like, you've been given immediate knowledge. And I was like, okay, well, I don't really want this immediate knowledge. Like, I'd rather wait till I'm 80. But it's like, it's not my choice. But it was really through praying the rosary and getting this spiritual insight just while I was praying. You know, I just felt the Lord asking me to rely upon him and that he was inviting me to partake in this amount of suffering and to walk into his footsteps, but it was for a greater good that like I couldn't understand. And so understanding that God was with me in my suffering is what really changed, and that I wasn't being punished, but that it was actually for something good.
So Katie, hearing your story immediately reminded me of a film called The Tree of Life, and it begins with their 19-year-old son dying, these main characters, and it immediately cuts to this verse in the book of Job, and where it brings up the question of how could have God allowed this, allowed my son to die? But it brings up the verse, where were you when I founded the earth and the stars? And he goes in this elaborate story of creation, but like you said, like, we don't understand how could he allow something to happen? We don't understand his broader plan. What can you speak about that, Father? How what's fair to us is not fair to him necessarily, for his broader plan of life.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's just like, I think a good example of that, Zach, is, I mean, every one of us already drove like to a really bad rainstorm or like snow storm. You can't see anything. You can't understand anything. But then you know, the roads, we have the yellow line and we have the white line to keep us there, you know, to keep us there where we're supposed to be. So, you know, we don't know. We don't know why. We don't know how. But we know that when we pass through the storm, then we can see things. And I think that in our lives, you know, talking about, Katie, what do you say, you know, desolations and consolations, that's what help us in our spiritual life. You know, the consolations help us for when we are in desolations. We remember, yes, the Lord is there. I remember that. And then when we were on the low part of our life, we can say, I remember that day. You know, and I think that's how the Lord is, you know, pedagogically teaching us, you know, with the ups and downs of our life, ups and downs that allowed us and help us to, when we low, go to the up and say, okay, I remember that. When we up, it's like, okay, we are here and be grateful for. I think that's, you know, that's a interesting word, gratitude.
Katie, I'd love to talk about your book for a moment. I think it's so unique that you're able to become an author out of this. How did it feel for you to retell your story? First of all, what inspired you to even put it into words in that way? And how did it feel like you were reliving the experience as you detailed out? Were you able to remember all of your story?
Yeah, it was an interesting experience. I actually got a lot of joy out of it, which is maybe strange, but I had no intention of doing this, so I should clarify with that. I wanted to forget about this. I wanted to move on with my life. I wanted to forget it ever happened to me. It's like, okay, those were two bad years. Like, let's move on. But I kept getting encouraged by my Nana. She kept saying, like, you need to write a book. You need to write a book. I was like, I don't know anything about writing a book. Like, that sounds crazy. And she said that for a few weeks. And then on one particular day, I was kind of back very marginally part-time at the marketing agency while I was recovering and learning how to walk again. But then COVID hit and they didn't know what was happening. So I actually like lost my job and they're like, we're sorry, you're like extra staff. Like we can't afford you for now. Like we may call you back, we may not. And on that same exact day, I got a message from Deacon Roger, who he was like my eighth grade confirmation teacher. And he had brought me communion a lot of the times when I wasn't strong enough to go to mass. And he was like, have you started writing your book? Like you have an important story to tell, like don't keep it hidden. And like, it was kind of a strange message out of nowhere from him. And I was like, okay, my Nana's been saying it. Now he said it, this is, now I have free time. So I guess I'll write. And I wrote the core of my book in 3 days, for 3 days, like nonstop. It kept pouring out of me and like all these of like what happened, but also my reflections like a year later and what I was like learning from it in hindsight. And it just poured out. So it was something I didn't even want to do, but felt encouraged to do. And then on that day, it just like poured out like a faucet. And so writing it, like I had so much joy. And then I didn't know if I would get published or not. Like, I don't know anybody in Catholic publishing. That was not something I was familiar with at all. But honestly, through the Holy Spirit, like he connected me with the right people, which led eventually to finding the publisher. So I hope to like give people hope through this book that like no matter like what you're going through that's like challenging, like God's with you and he's going to bring something beautiful out of it. So that's been like a hidden blessing for me personally.
And another question I wanted to ask, with it being an accident, was there someone else involved? Was there tension there? I know we can be upset at God sometimes for allowing things to happen, but did you have any resentment towards anybody else that might have caused, you know, were you quick to forgive or slow to forgive?
Definitely slow to forgive. Just to be honest, that was really hard, right? Because, you know, the other driver, you know, didn't even have a scratch. And then here I am, like, burning, bleeding, broken bones, hospitalized for 11 days. You know, it's hard to be like, how is this fair? And, you know, if you would have just done the right thing and, you know, you play that in your mind, right? Of like, you know, so yeah, I had a lot of anger, to be honest with you. It was honestly through a ton, and I mean a ton of prayer and going to the sacraments, like going, you know, asking like God when I was like receiving, you know, the Eucharist, asking God for help in confession, like I had to consistently pray a lot just for the grace to like want to forgive and then ultimately the grace to forgive. And I have definitely forgiven him for sure. And I also don't even have like the negative feelings, you know, because obviously forgiveness isn't a feeling, it's a choice. But even the feelings have, yes, they have lessened as well. And that's a grace from God as well. But yeah, it took a lot of divine intervention to get me there. And then I can honestly say that there's a lot of peace with that, but that was not easy.
Eddie, it's interesting, as you were saying, I remember, and if we talked about this story before here, it's the story of centuries of Avila. You know, she was in her carrier and everything. And then it was like stuck with mud and all that stuff, you know. And then she was one, I'm not sure if you know a lot about her, but she was like, Jesus would appear to her and have those long conversations. And then, you know, Jesus appeared to her in the middle of that bank. And then she starts to complain to Jesus, like, what are you doing? You know, Jesus said, you know, that's what I do with my best friends. And she said to him, that's why you don't have that many best friends.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that was kind of the story, as you were telling the story, it reminded me of that, this little story. But, you know, it's like, yeah, it's that opportunity to, you know, deepen your pain in the states of grief and all that stuff. But also, I understand that, why? Well, because somebody did something stupid, and this is the consequence of somebody else's decisions and choices and all that. But I feel it is important for us, you know, we always try to, like, whose fault is this? You know, and this happened. And then, you know, it goes back to how do you want me to live this that is happening in my life right now?
Katie, I'm curious as well with seeing how you persevered through prayer and the sacraments to kind of come out of this a better person, really. What would you say to someone who's either in your shoes right now or has been before with either a life-altering physical suffering, whether it's mental or emotional, and that just can't get out of the rut and says, you know what, I've tried it all. I just feel like I can't embrace the cross like you're telling me to. Is there a religious or even a non-religious answer? I don't know. To someone that's struggling to get out of the suffering in a way, or to embrace it?
I would say that there is hope, and there's not hope because me, Katie, a random girl, is telling you there's hope, because my word doesn't have that much weight to it, but Jesus's word does. And he, again and again in the scriptures, like, and by his example, there is always hope because Jesus rose from the dead. So if that's true, we always have hope. And at a practical level, Eucharistic adoration, please, please, please go and sit, because sometimes, obviously, Mass is beautiful, but it can be a little distracting at times, just because you have like the crying baby, or you got, you know, somebody like saying move over, and like there's just like a lot of distractions sometimes at Mass. But just for when you're really hurting and just like aching and just like there's no hope and there's no answers and there's no improvement, I highly, highly, highly recommend Eucharistic adoration, because you can just sit there in the silence, in the peace, like in front of Jesus, like literally heart to heart. It's his heart on display for us to meet us there. And that was a huge, I mean, I never leave adoration without peace. And I always go in usually like annoyed, frustrated, angry, upset, like discouraged, like whatever it is, of whatever like minor inconveniences I have going on in my life. I always leave with peace that nothing else gives. If you can't make it there, then the rosary. And even if you don't have the energy, you're like, oh, that's too long of a prayer to say, put it like, get like EWTN or whatever app and play the rosary out loud and listen to it. And again, I never listen to the rosary. By the end of it, I always have peace. I never am without peace listening to that. And so I think when you're really in those dark moments where it really seems hopeless, like you have to like rely on Jesus and Mary are my go-tos, and they never disappoint.
Father, do you have any closing thoughts on the importance of adoration? I know that's so huge at the Prasadi House there near the cathedral, but just how vibrant that is.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, you know, with the synod of synodality, we talked a lot about things like that, and, you know, what people were needing is more opportunities for adoration. And like in my parish now here at St. Thomas Aquinas, when I came, we established adoration every day, Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 5:30. So we have 1 hour of adoration. And then Friday, we have all day adoration from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. But I think Katie was saying is like that heart-to-heart conversation. You know, and even if you don't know what to say, just stay there, and, you know. And I think also, you know, especially, I mean, it's Jesus, you know, like if we understand, it's Jesus himself right there waiting for you. But, you know, especially in our society that we are so stimulated by visuals and, you know, so many people struggle with pornography, with all that kind of stuff. Go to Jesus, and that's him right there. Adore him. Just be there, you know. And I think, Zach, we talked about this before, but one of my biggest moments of adoration, we were in this gymnasium in Brazil for 10,000 people, and we had adoration, you know, and the altar was in the center of this you know, court, and we were there, just there, you know, and the priest spent about 30 minutes just saying, Jesus, I'm here, love me. Jesus, I'm here, love me. You know, and it was like, it was that sense that was like, he's right here. Dang. I don't need to say, I just need to be with him. And I think in our society today, we need to be more aware of how to be. What do you do? You don't need to do anything. Be there and acknowledge his presence and allow him to love you. That's it.
Katie, we thank you so much for being on the show today. If you could take a moment to tell us how we can find your book, Stepping Up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's available on Amazon, and there's also the audiobook version, and that's on Audible and a lot of podcast platforms. So yeah, Stepping Up by Katie Crowley, and it's CaitieCrowley, because I always mix people up with my spelling of Katie. So yeah, check it out. That would be great.
Stepping Up, How Christ Turned My Pain and Suffering into Hope and Joy. Thank you, Katie, for taking time to tell your story today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you to Father Jervon for giving us all guidance. And we hope you enjoyed listening to our show today. Remember, you can find it on 100.5 FM to listen. We're on the Nashville Catholic Radio app, or you can ask your smart device to play Nashville Catholic Radio. But listen and tell a friend about us. We thank you all for listening. Once again, this is Belonging on Nashville Catholic Radio.